All rise. Court is in session. Call now, 215-263-1079. Court Radio 107.9 WRNB is on. Brought to you exclusively by the law offices of Silvers, Langsam, and Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com.
Good morning, Philadelphia. November 17th, 2009, and you're listening to 107.9 WRNB. This must be Court Radio, and I am Dean Weitzman, and I'll be your host for the day to take you through a legal journey, figure out what's what, answer some questions, and talk about our hot-button legal topic, which we'll get to momentarily. It's always good to be here on a Sunday morning, and guess what? It finally stopped raining, which will be a segue into our hot-button topic in a moment. The sun's going to shine today, folks. Get out, wash your cars, enjoy the day. Let's talk about Balloon Boy for a minute. You remember Balloon Boy? His parents had a hoax, said that poor little Balloon Boy was sent up into the sky, only to reveal to the courts that it was a big hoax just to get themselves on some reality TV show. What have we become as a society? Anyway, they both pled guilty. I guess they'll pay a fine, do a little time. The sheriff in the county that they're from wants them to pay for the cost of the investigation. I think that's a reasonable outcome. Let's talk for a minute also about what we talked about last week, which was, hey, it's important for you to think about not only presidents and senators that you elect, but also judges. We were recently off of an election, and things didn't go very well for the Democrats. We had a bunch of elections of individuals, and the talk was, you know, why is it important to pay attention to judge elections? And I bring an example today where the Supreme Court of the United States, that is, also referred as SCOTUS. Supreme Court of the United States. You ever see that? SCOTUS. That's what they're talking about. The Supreme Court is going to decide a case this term, and the case is involving a 13-year-old. 13-year-old boy who committed a heinous crime, didn't involve death. I don't recall the exact nature of the crime. It may have been rape or some other event. And he was found guilty of this crime and sentenced to life in prison. Life in prison without the possibility of parole, a 13-year-old. And the Supreme Court will decide whether that is cruel and unusual punishment, whether it is something that we will permit, that being the incarceration for life without parole of a minor for a crime committed while a minor. They recently decided a case, I say recently, I think back in 2005, that it was no longer legal to put a minor to death for a crime committed as a minor. And there was a 16-year-old in that case who had committed a murder and was sentenced to die for that crime. And the Supreme Court said no, but only by a 5-4 margin. The slimmest of victories for those who are against the death penalty, the slimmest of victories. And that, you know, that can change. That could be 5-4 in the opposite direction, depending on who's in the court. Now, of course, we don't get to elect Supreme Court justices, but we elect those who appoint. And the same for each of our states. Well, some states actually have appointed Supreme Court justices. Pennsylvania actually has elected Supreme Court justices. You get to vote for them. And these are the kinds of decisions these judges are making. Do you know that when the Supreme Court decided that it was not proper to put a minor to death, the United States of America stood absolutely and positively alone as the only country in the world, not the free world, the world, the only country in the world that permitted the state-sanctioned death of minors for murders committed by minors as minors. And And the Supreme Court said, obviously, this is not something that we want to endorse. And they put an end to that practice. And about 50 some children were spared the death penalty. They will now be deciding whether life in prison without parole is proper. And as I said, we're just sort of a follow-up from last week. If you have some comments to make about that or our hot-button topic, which I'm about to reveal, please call us here in the studio at 215-263-1079. 215-263-1079, and you'll reach Court Radio, and we'll answer your questions, or we'll attempt to, or I'll put you off until tomorrow, but you'll get some response. Oh, and if Marvin is listening, Marvin, yes, your My Philly Lawyer pack has gone out. So no need to call, no need to complain. I'm not going to have serial complainers. I did take care of that towards the end of last week, so stay tuned for your My Philly Lawyer pack. Okay, so now, folks, you've been waiting patiently for 7 minutes while I bantered about our last week's topic. And we're going to talk this week about the rain. It's been like Noah's Ark around here every day with driving rains, wind-swept rains. And I'm sure not but a few, more than a few, people have had some water damage in their homes because of the constant rain. And I've asked our friend Kevin Kaufman, who was here a long, long time ago, to come back to talk to us about what's going on in the world of property and casualty insurance, because I've gotten calls recently from potential clients who say my basement's flooded. It was caused by the city of Philadelphia. They've got a collapsed pipe and they backed up into my house and I can't get any relief from the city. What do I do? And as I say all the time, we try to insure ourselves for all of the potential losses we're going to experience so that we don't have to rely upon others. And then we get paid by our own insurance company, and then our insurance company spends the money to chase after the wrongdoer if there is somebody, and it's not something you have to wait for. Quick, you make your claim, you get paid. Isn't that right, Kevin?
And that's what we would encourage, Dean. Absolutely.
Kevin Kaufman, a graduate of Temple University, I guess a local homegrown guy himself, huh?
Yeah, I was born in the Alney section of Philadelphia right here.
All right. A competitor for the My Philly Lawyer moniker, except it would be My Philly Property and Casualty Adjuster. What company? Do you own a company?
Yes, I own a Property Adjustment Corporation. We've been public adjusters representing the policyholder now since 1989. It's our 20th year in business.
Wow. All right. Well, so when somebody calls, when they have a claim potentially on their policy, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, you can dial the 355-FIRE number. It's 215-355-FIRE. Toll-free outside the 215. It's 877-355-FIRE. Or contact us on the internet. If we've worked with you before, then we've probably sent you some correspondence from time to time to keep in touch with you, or if you come across our offices. So we get a lot of work from referrals and past clients.
215-355-FIRE. All right. That's an easy number to remember. Why would somebody give you a call? Why wouldn't they just call their insurance company and ask the insurance company to come on out and take a look at this damage, whatever it is, fire? We're going to get into floods in a minute. That's really the topic we want to talk about. But generally speaking, why would somebody call you as opposed to just calling their insurance company, having them send out an adjuster? You watch the TV, they have the commercials, they come right out to the house 15, 20 minutes after the event with checkbook in hand, they examine the property, they write you a check for the full amount, they get you hooked up with an apartment or a house or something in the interim, they take care of you. You're loved by the carrier back to good health. Why do we need you?
Well, that's a great question. And then you're right. Your insurance company has adjusters, but those adjusters are representing the interest of their employers, and their employers being the insurance company. I take it from the other dichotomy. I represent our client, the policyholder. And it's not that they have the wrong idea, the insurance companies, but they do have the checkbook. But in general, they will offer you as little as you're willing to accept without any regard for what you're truly entitled to.
Say it isn't so.
Yeah, you mentioned they'll take care of you. They'll put you up in an apartment. One of the fire victims, I'm recently cleaning up their claim now, but the first day I met them was a couple days after their house had burned down. They had a beautiful Center Hall Colonial in Yardley, Bucks County. And at the time, the insurance company was trying to squeeze them into a two-bedroom Corman apartment, and they had two kids and college-age teenagers. And I said, in all due respects, Mr. Frank, you have a beautiful Center Hall Colonial on a half-acre ground here in Bucks County. Why would you want to spend the next year of your life in a two-bedroom apartment outside the school district of your children, a further drive from work? And he says, what are you talking about, Kev? I said, well, your insurance policy provides you to keep you to the point that you've been accustomed to. You can rent a house right here in Yardley in the same school district that your kids are presently going for. The insurance company will furnish it, and they'll pay for it. And that's exactly what happened.
But, of course, it didn't happen by their voluntarily taking on that responsibility, but by you enforcing the rights of your client against the insurance company in that instance. And so I guess that's the answer to the question you've answered, is that if you really want all that you're entitled to get, if you really want all that you're entitled, all that you bought when you bought that policy, then it's important to have your own representative handling the claim on your behalf.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, if you're not entitled to it, I can't get you paid for it. But the difference is I'm going to get you paid for everything you are entitled to.
All right. We're going to take a call. Remember, folks, if you've got questions or if you got comments on our opening dialogue about the Supreme Court, you call us at 215-263-1079. We got T from Philadelphia wanting to talk about that 13-year-old. Hello, T. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
What's your comment? What's your question?
I don't think it's right to give a 13-year-old life for anything that he's done, because he's not in the right state of mind at 13 years old.
Yeah, I think that's what the Supreme Court decided on the part where it goes whether the courts should permit the death of children for their actions, and one of the justices said, from a moral standpoint, it would be misguided to equate the failings of a minor with those of an adult. For a greater possibility exists that a minor's character deficiencies will be reformed. That was Justice Kennedy. But again, I thank you for your comment, and thank you for listening to Court Radio, and have a great Sunday. I'll only say this, that, whether we have a court that will do what it is we want them to do will depend on whether we elect them, whether it's our local court systems or the Supreme Court, whether we elect the people who appoint them. If we're paying attention during each and every election, this is not about an election that occurs once every 4 years for the presidency. It's not about an election that occurs once every 2 years for the House of Representatives. You need to pay attention to each and every election. School boards, judges, all these people will affect your lives. I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm merely telling you that if you're only paying attention every 4 years, you're only getting a piece of the representation you deserve. Thanks, T, for calling in. One more. We got Chris. Chris from Philly wanting to respond to the story. Hello, Chris. Oh, Chris. Oh, I guess Chris is gone. I think Chris probably wanted to echo what T said. So thank you for being a listener. So, Kevin, we got floods. You know, this is it. I mean, this, especially this time of year, you know, it seems like we always get a lot of water coming in the fall. We got leaves falling, water coming in, and sometimes leaves block drains and water comes pouring into the house. And I assume that if that happens, I'm going to get paid by my insurance company. Yes? No? Maybe?
The maybe would be the correct answer there. It all depends, Dean, on the type of insurance policy you have insuring that property. If you have what we call an all physical risk policy, and the scupper box on your flat roof blocks up with leaves and water works its way into that home and causes damage to a commercial building, If you have an all-physical risk policy, like an HO3, homeowners is a good one. The State Farm policy is an all-physical risk policy. And I say the State Farm policy. They only sell one if you have a homeowners policy with that, with State Farm. Those examples would be all physical risks. As long as the water doesn't hit the ground first and enters the house and you have an all-physical risk policy, that damage sustained to your property should be covered under your insurance policy.
So the not all policies are created equal.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should be very aware of what you purchased is a great thing. And you know what we're running into a lot lately is people allowing their mortgage company or their realtor to buy their insurance policy for them. And
at the time of settlement, that's not uncommon. A lot of people will just, it's like a package deal, they think. They come into settlement, they get the homeowner's insurance, they get the the title insurance, and they're not participating in the selection of those various carriers.
Oh, that's a nasty thing to do, because if the mortgage company buys the insurance, we call that forced place. The mortgage company's forcing this policy upon you. Usually that's like three or four times the market value. You're paying three or four times as much as if you just went to the local corner agent or broker and bought your own insurance policy. And that's the number one bad thing. The number two is you're not the insured. You're what they call an additional insured. The insured is your mortgage company or the loan. So, and when given a choice, always choose your own insurance company. And with regards to the realtors choosing the company, it's a great service they provide. However, they only provide it up to the criteria necessary to get the house to the settlement table, i.e., if your mortgage company only requires a fire policy, you may have a basic, what we call fire and lightning policy on your house, which is all the mortgage company really requires. And then when you have that pipe break or that roof leak from the weather we're having around here, you go to look at your insurance policy and it doesn't do anything. No coverages are triggered because your house didn't burn down.
See, these people don't understand. They think that I believe that one policy is the same as another, whether it's company A, company B, company C. Give me a property policy for my property, and then when the problem occurs, when some loss occurs, then they begin to really look at the terms of the policy. Who begins to look? The carrier. And then they send you that letter that says, we're really sorry for your loss, but the loss that you experienced is not covered under this policy under clause XYZ. And we won't be paying you anything. And then you look at that and you say, well, what did I buy? Well, folks, when you get the policy, that's when it's time to ask all those questions. What am I buying? And what will I be covered for? And more importantly, what won't I be covered for? If you want to reach us in the studio, the number is 215-263-1079. We're talking about policies that cover your home, the largest expense you'll probably ever make. All of your family's assets could be tied up in this one piece of real estate. And when something goes wrong, you'll want to make sure you're covered. All right. We got Arthur calling in from Pennsylvania with a paternity question. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, sir. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I hope you are as well.
Okay, sir. I'd like to know, what option does a man have if he finds out that a child he had during wedlock is not his? I mean, the thing is, if someone is paying like child support right now, and he finds out that this child isn't his, I was told that he has a limited option of getting out of the child support. Is it true?
No, I don't believe so. But once you've accepted the child as your child, the only way to be relieved from that is to have whomever the child's actual father is to step into your stead. I think before you've accepted a child, you can contest paternity, and they'll do DNA testing, and there'll be a determination. There's an assumption that if you're the father and that you're on the birth certificate as the father, that you are the father. I don't believe that that presumption can be undone unless the actual father steps up to the plate. But, you know, I will tell you that it will depend upon the actual circumstances of your circumstances, the actual facts of your circumstances. And I would invite you to give us a call tomorrow at 215-227-2727, where we can talk about the facts of your case. And I'll be able to give you more specific advice. But generally speaking, once you've undertaken that responsibility, you're not going to be relieved until somebody else fills your shoes. All right, Arthur,
227-2727.
Have a great Sunday, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
All right, so I was mistaken, and you mentioned, Kevin, that if it hits the ground, if the water hits the ground and then enters the home, it isn't going to be covered by any policy.
Yeah, that's what we refer to as groundwater. Now, groundwater is excluded under all residential homeowner policies. We'll talk about homeowners. It's excluded under all homeowners policies. However, there's insurance. There's always an exception. However, most insurance policies, insurance carriers allow you to buy back that exclusion, usually to a limited amount, through a rider that they call backup of sewer and drains rider. Now, if certain conditions exist where that water hits the ground first and normally should enter a storm drain or a sump pump drain, and for some reason that drain doesn't drain, then the water backs up into the house, then a trigger or coverage is triggered under that endorsement.
But you have to get the endorsement, folks. So you buy the policy, and then for a small amount of money, under $100 probably.
Usually.
Yeah. You can purchase additional insurance, which will protect you from the backed up drains that probably a lot of people have experienced in this weather. Okay. What about the typical flood insurance then? I mean, if groundwater backup is an exclusion, how do we get flood insurance?
Well, you can buy flood insurance now just about anywhere.
Really? You don't have to be in a flood zone.
Remember years ago you had to be in a flood zone, and a lot of times your mortgage company forced you. But now the NFIP has loosened up the restrictions, and just about anybody anywhere could buy flood insurance. However, flood insurance only covers you for flood, and flood has a very specific definition with regards to insurance coverage.
And what is that definition?
It says it's a generally or temporary condition of partial or complete inundation of 2 or more acres of normally dry land. So a lot of people say, well, I have that sump, I don't have the sump pump rider, I do have the sump pump rider, but I also bought a flood policy, and when the sump pump kicked out and my house got flooded, I should be covered. Not really. You still need to show a flood. Now, if you could go out in the backyard and you saw that the water came right down through the neighborhood and you have a water line 18 inches up on your house, then you can say that definition of flood applies here, because then the water rolled down and into my basement and that would be covered. But if you just have a very like saturated, like the rains we've been having lately, just soaking the grounds, and if that just seeps up into the walls and through your basement and foundation walls, that's not something that's covered under flood insurance. The ground has to be flooded.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm telling you, there's pitfalls every which way you turn with this insurance. And it's amazing how anybody can get paid on any of these claims.
I agree. And you mentioned that earlier about the denial. 85% of all claims that are denied because of the initial contact with the insurance company. That initial phone call, when you call into your insurance company, if you don't know how your policy works, you're not on a level playing surface with the other person on that 800 line, because they've had 6-8 months training before they become operators for a major insurance company.
And the other thing is, folks, if you don't know how, and this kind of ties in, if you don't know how the loss occurred, okay, let's say that you had there was a rain and you had a pipe break and you had water in your house, and you're not sure if it's the broken pipe that caused your water or it's the backup of leaves in the on the roof, in the gutter system that caused the water that came in the house. If you're not sure and you blurt out some explanation as to why you believe the loss occurred, but you've blurted out an explanation that's not covered by your policy, your insurance company will latch on to that and deny your claim. They're looking for a reason to deny the claim, as Kevin said, or they're looking to minimize the claim. They're looking to deny the claim, and you've given it to them. But in fact, the reality is that it may be a covered loss, but you didn't know that it was important to explain it in a particular way. And now that you're now scurrying to make back what you've lost. And that's always a more difficult position. So it's always better to call somebody who is on your side before you call people who aren't on your side. And unfortunately, that's your insurance company. I.e., they're not on your side at that moment in time, and you need to call somebody like Kevin at 355-FIRE or another public adjuster so that you can have an opportunity to be represented by somebody who understands your policy and what it takes properly to make that claim stick. All right, we got Kevin from West Philly. Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Yo, Kevin, what's up?
Hey, I just want to know, is it possible that a case can be reintroduced in court if your appeal process has been passed, if you feel as though you've been misrepresented by a lawyer?
Well, first of all, let me ask you, is this a criminal or civil case?
Criminal.
Okay, it's a criminal case, and your various appeal periods have run out.
Yes.
Okay. Are extremely, extremely difficult at that point, but not necessarily impossible. And it really depends on the specific facts of your case, which we're not going to get into today. But there are opportunities, limited that they may be. And I'm not saying they apply to the particular case you're referring to, but I would be remiss if I told you that you're absolutely, if you miss your deadline, you're done and you're out. It will depend on how long it's been, how many months or days or years have passed since the period expired, the basis for it, whether there was fraud or misrepresentation and along the way. There are certain limited exceptions. I would say, generally speaking, if the appeal period is over, the appeal period is over, because there has to be some finality in our court systems. Otherwise, cases will go on forever. That's why on the civil side, there's the statute of limitations. It's a 2-year statute. Are there exceptions to that statute? Of course there are, but very limited exceptions. Generally speaking, if it's been more than 2 years since the date of the accident, you're done. We don't want cases. We don't want to revisit cases that are 15 years old and allow people to continue to litigate them. So,
if I wanted an appeal,
say that again.
When I wanted an appeal, I had a private lawyer, and since I wasn't comfortable with that lawyer at the time, I hesitated to appeal the decision. So, can that have anything to?
Well, time frames are important, facts of the case are important, but yeah, what you're describing is something that you created on your own. You said, hey, I don't want to take this appeal. I can't afford to take this appeal. I don't want to take this appeal. Whatever the case may be, you made a decision, and generally speaking, you'll live by that decision if you're beyond the time frame of your appeal.
Okay.
All right, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
No, thank you. Thank you for listening. 215-263-1079. Have you had a property damage claim rejected by your insurance company? Are you one of the 85? Did you say 85%?
Of all denials, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you one of those 85%? Has your claim been denied? Did you scratch your head and say, why'd I buy this insurance in the first place? Well, you're not alone. And we're talking to Kevin Kaufman from
Property Adjustment Corporation.
Property Adjustment Corp. And Kevin specializes in making sure you get paid on your claims, because Kevin doesn't get paid unless you get paid.
That's right. We're licensed in 5 states in our area here, and all those states require that we work on a contingency fee basis. So we have to create money in order to be paid at all.
So no harm, no foul. If you need to ask Kevin a question, it's always free until he makes a recovery on your behalf. And the question then is, so you don't have flood insurance, although, folks, you've heard it here. You can buy flood insurance pretty much anywhere, anytime. And you got water coming into the house, and you didn't know what kind of policy you bought. What are some of the things to look for? What are some of the things to think about as to whether it's a covered loss or not?
Well, especially with flood. Flood is it's not like regular insurance. Regular insurance restores you to the point you were before the loss happened. They indemnify you. They make you whole again. And in fact, most policies out there are better than indemnification. They're replacement cost policies. So we're not going to put back old carpet. We're not going to put back old walls. We're going to do everything new. Well, the flood policy is not quite the same. They only pay for what is directly damaged. There's no continuation. Like, for instance, the water comes to the first floor of your house. They'll pay for your base kitchen cabinets, but they won't pay for the wall cabinets, even though we can't get the same cabinets anymore. They only pay for direct physical damage.
That's on a flood policy.
On a flood policy. We're talking about flood only. Flood's a different animal.
Okay.
And floods, people think just the same scenario we talked about earlier. My basement got wet. I put that home theater in there. I put that entertainment center, the bar down there. And now I bought a flood policy to protect myself. Well, if that basement, if that entertainment center, that theater is in, below the level of the first living space above the ground, if it is in a basement, even if it's a walkout basement, but there's earth somewhere around the foundation of that, that's considered below the first living floor of the house. If that's the case, the flood policy doesn't cover any of that. Doesn't cover carpeting, doesn't cover that home theater, doesn't cover that home bar.
Well, then you better have your home theater in your living room, not your basement, because that's not going to be covered. You know, is flood insurance expensive, though?
No, it's relatively inexpensive. You can only buy so much of it. The most you can buy on a dwelling coverage is $250,000. So those million-dollar shore homes that we see down in Ocean City and Margate, they're $250,000.
Aha. Okay, so you can only get coverage, no matter what the value of your house, only get coverage up to $250,000.
And for the contents, you have to buy a separate insurance policy. You have to buy a separate policy for the possessions in your house, your things, your furniture, your sweat socks. That's called a contents policy, and you can only buy that up to $100,000.
What if you don't have flood insurance? You don't have the special flood and content insurance, and yet you have water damage. What types of risks or what types of events are covered? But before you get to that, and folks, we got to take a couple calls. We're going to talk to Charles from Philadelphia. Hello, Charles.
How you feel? Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful. What's
my question? What I'm hearing is that you're telling us before we make a claim with our insurance company, it's to our advantage to call a claims adjuster first?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. At least you'll get some advice. You know, as Kevin has stated, he's not going to get paid one thin nickel or one thin dime until he, A, represents you, and B, until he makes a recovery on your behalf. You're certainly able to ask him questions and to get some advice before that happens. And so I just don't see any reason why you wouldn't call Kevin first, at least to broach the subject and find out whether you're on strong ground or weak ground. Have him come out, take a look at the scenario, and see what he or someone like him can do for you.
Well, let me ask you this. If I'm purchasing a property, would it be to my advantage to call Kevin before I purchase a policy so I know exactly what insurance, kind of insurance I need to get?
All right, Charles, now you have Kevin on the edge of his seat. He's dying to answer this question. Go ahead, Kevin. Yeah.
Charles, I'm a good guy to ask because I don't sell this stuff. I'm not a P&C agent. I don't sell insurance, but I know which policies pay and which policies don't. So depending on your risk, if it's an investment property or your primary dwelling, I'll be more than happy to give you some advice. Give me a call, and I'll tell you what's a good company and what's a good policy to put on that property.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate you talking to me.
All right, Charles. Peace.
Have a good day.
All right. So how does Charles get in touch with you if he wanted to run by you the types of policies he might be looking at?
You can call us at the toll-free at 877-355-FIRE.
Okay, toll-free, 877-355-FIRE. Did I misstate that earlier? You don't have 215-355-FIRE.
We have both.
You have both.
So,
covering all bases. Yeah. But if you're calling from Spanish Town, Jamaica, yay! All right, Spanish Town, yeah, man. You would call 877-355-FIRE if you're looking for a fire policy for your home in Jamaica. Yes, we do. Well, we have listeners everywhere, all over the world. And if you're Zeb in Delaware County, you might have a question for us. Yeah, Zeb?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Just fine. My question is, it's sort of in retro. We purchased a house about 4 years ago. Should we go back and review all of our policies, call Kevin and have him look at it? Because, you know, I got a little nervous when you started talking about particularly what things would be covered under what clauses.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to look at your policy. The first page of that insurance policy is called the declaration sheet. You can fax that declaration sheet directly to my office or email it to me or hold it in your hand and we can talk on the phone. And I'll do what your insurance agent should have done and ask you your needs. Do you have that finished basement? Does that basement have a sump pump? Do you have a sump pump rider for that? Most insurance policies limit jewelry. Even the best insurance policy limits theft of jewelry to $2,500. Sometimes that's, you know, half the price of an engagement ring, you know, or better. So depending on your needs, your insurance agent should ask these things and structure the policy accordingly. That's when you get into trouble. When you buy your policy from a mortgage company or you buy it from a realtor, they don't sit down and ask these questions from you. They do a great service, don't get me wrong, but it could be better if you sit down and have someone customize the policy to your needs.
Right, right, because I was really responding to the fact that when you said when people don't ask these questions and they just cover just the bare minimum, like we don't really know what the coverage is, in particular if something happens with the house. So I guess I'll give you a call tomorrow and we can kind of set up so we can talk about that.
Let me also, you brought up a good point, and Kevin, you mentioned a good point. What is your fax number?
Fax number is 267-864-1007. That's
okay.
Yeah.
So, folks, if you've got policies and you want to talk to Kevin about them, you can fax them to his office and follow up with a phone call, and he'll guide you as to what will cover you, what you're covered for. You know, it's the sinking feeling, a pit in your stomach, as they say, when you get that letter or that telephone call from your insurance company. You've got a legitimate claim, and they tell you it's not covered. And now you're looking at maybe tens of thousands of dollars worth of repairs, and you're not prepared to make them. You don't know where you're going to get the money. You thought you had the proper insurance. You've been paying faithfully for years, only to find out that you didn't have a particular rider. You could have gotten a better policy. You could have spent a little bit more each year, but had coverage on the date of your loss that was appropriate. And I just want to make sure that you have that, or at least that you know you don't. You know, if you're going to go bare, if you know that you've got this Rolex watch that's 10 grand, and God forbid if something happens to it, you're only getting $2,500, and you accept that risk, then that's fine. I don't mind people who accept known risks and say, I don't want to spend the extra $50 or $100 a year to get the full coverage for my Rolex watch. I'm willing to, I don't think it'll get stolen. I got a safe in the house. I put it in the safe, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. Then you're allowed to not insure that risk. Dean doesn't mind that. But Dean minds is when you got that Rolex stolen and you go to call your insurance agent and he says, yeah, here's your check for $2,500 less, you know, the deductible. And so here's your $2,000 check. And you can't replace your watch for five times that. So know it what you got and know what you don't have. And in order for you to do that, you call somebody like Kevin and he'll give you some tips. Thanks for calling Court Radio and have a great day.
All right. Thank you very much.
215-263-1079. You can give us a call and ask Kevin a question about your property damage or property loss, your insurance coverage. You can comment on our opening bid where we talked about the Supreme Court of the United States making it illegal to put minors to death for murders committed while they were minors, and whether or not the upcoming term will find us with a similar decision by the current court, which is completely different than the court was in 2005 when they had that 5-4 split. Will the current court maintain that same decision with regard to life in prison without the possibility of parole for crimes committed by minors? I don't know. I'm not sure we're going to be protected. I'm not sure that the court will make the appropriate decision. I do know that we're going to be beholden to whatever the court decides, and we're going to have to live with it. And if you don't like what they do, it's incumbent upon you to make sure that you elect people who think like you think, whatever that is. Don't give up your rights. Don't sit at home on election day like we, so many of us, did this past election. All right. Well, anyway, so Kevin, where were we?
I think we were talking about what types of water damage would be covered, what types of fire damage.
Yes.
Yeah, just about all homeowners' policies cover fire. Well, let me rephrase it. All homeowners' policies cover fire. So, and then it expands from there. Depending on what type of policy that you were placed with, what other things are covered? Vandalism, malicious mischief, windstorm, and those sort of things. So there's a lot of companies out there that structure different policies. Some companies got tired of selling all these different policies, and they only sell one residential homeowner's policy.
Is it the best or the worst when they sell one?
Well, I like to think of it as trying to put a square peg in a round hole. I mean, that one policy is not going to suit everybody's needs, but it may be well-designed for the vast majority. And a good example of that would be State Farm. State Farm has one residential homeowner's policy. That's it. That's the bad news. The good news is it's a pretty decent policy. It's all physical risks. It covers a lot of things. Another good place to purchase your insurance is if you're an elder person and you are a member of AARP. They sell homeowners through the ARP, and it's a really good product that they sell through ARP. And it's at a reduced price. There's no agents involved. You buy it directly from ITT Hartford. So it's not a bad policy. Keystone AAA, they sell insurance. They have good policies. You know, they're out there, but you should really know what your policy is and what it covers. And we'll be more than able to help you determine that.
All right, we got a call from Ron from Philly. Yo, Ron, how are you this morning?
I am awesome, thank you.
What's your question or comment?
My question is this, and I'll preface it by saying most of us rely upon our insurance agents to provide to us the appropriate coverage that we need. Assuming I contact my insurance agent and say, I want an all-risk policy, I want to make sure that I have coverage for every type of loss that's possibly imaginable, and we have this conversation, and he asks me the right questions, and then I have a loss, and it turns out that the loss is not covered, it's denied for whatever reason, but the loss would, let's say, be covered under the right kind of insurance policy. What recourse, if any, do I have against the insurance agent for not giving me the proper coverage?
Okay, well, I would say errors and omissions. I would say that you may have a claim against your agent for some negligence in the placement of that policy, but I'm going to defer because Kevin's back on the edge of his seat again, and I want to see what he has to say. Go ahead, Kev.
Well, just knowing, being in the insurance industry as long as I have, I started my career working for a major insurance company right in downtown Philadelphia here, and the whole dichotomy of the agency program, where the agents sell premium dollars, sell policies to these policyholders. If those policyholders put in too many claims, the insurance company comes down on that agent and says, you got to sell to better risks. You got to sell to people who aren't going to use the product because that's how we make a profit. And that's called a loss ratio. They're always worried about high loss ratios with insurance agents. So the agent's like a double-edged sword. He wants to sell you this product in the event of a loss. It'll protect you, and it'll keep you safe, and it would reduce your risk and harm. But on the other side, if too many people that he sells it to use it, then he gets pressure from the carrier to sell to better risk, people who aren't going to use this product. So that whole dichotomy of the loss ratio. So why I'm going through that long explanation, we have a lot of examples where people call, they don't know who to call when they have a loss, they call their agent. They call the agent first, and that agent may just got clobbered with a large fire of one of the people he sold, and his loss ratio is going through the roof. And he'll try to deter that person from putting in the claim sometimes, knowing that it could be covered. And does it happen? It happens every week. For those agents, listen, I apologize, but you know it's the truth. I'll give you an example. We had one right down here in Philadelphia. A woman called us from the Red Cross shelter. On the 21st day of her living in the Red Cross shelter, her apartment building burned down. However, she was one of the most astute tenants in that building. She was one of the only few that had insurance. When she the day after the fire, she called her insurance agent. She said, "My building burned down. I'm in a Red Cross shelter. What can I do?" The insurance agent said, "Well, you know, ma'am, you have a $500 deductible. Do you have $500 to pay for an insurance claim?" And she said, "No, I don't." She says, "Well, I'm not sure you really want to make a claim." And then she hung up the phone, and 20 days later, she called our office. Within 48 hours of that phone call, that woman woke up in an extended stay America. She had all her salvageable clothing cleaned, laundered, and returned to that extended stay America. She had the best meal that she's had in 21 days of living in a shelter. She was never asked to pay a dime of that deductible. And when her building was restored, she moved in with all new furniture or all the salvageable furniture cleaned and was never asked to pay a dime. Because that's what her insurance afforded her, but she was misguided by her agent who was concerned with her loss ratio.
Okay. Well, now, if that agent had, as this caller says, he says, "I want to purchase an HO3 policy with all risks covered," and then he subsequently has a loss and discovers that the agent didn't give him an HO3 but only gave him an HO1, and the loss he experience would have been covered under an HO3 but is not. And what we're talking about is the best policy versus the worst policy. These terms that they use in the insurance industry aren't important, but so if he's not given what he thought he was purchasing, what he instructed his agent to purchase, does he have a claim against his agent?
Yeah, I would say you're probably the better person to answer that question.
Yeah, Kevin. But he passes the buck.
I did hear of this before. Someone gave me advice a long time ago, and it says if you're really worried about what our caller is the subject our caller is bringing up, is to write that insurance agent a letter saying, "Please review my insurance coverage and make sure I'm properly insured."
And Kevin brings up the point that I would make with you, sir, and that is the answer is yes, of course. If your agent negligently does some activity or fails to that causes you to suffer harm, you can sue your agent, okay? Under his errors and omissions policy, it'll probably be covered. But as with any case, the facts of the case are important and proof of those facts. So if it comes down to a word versus word where you say, "I said X and he said Y," I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But if you have a piece of paper that you wrote to your agent, that you mailed to him or sent to him saying, "Purchase this type of policy," or "I want this type of risk covered," and he sent back something saying, "We got you covered, son. You're going to be fine," and you're not, now you've got the evidence you need to go into a courtroom and prove your case. And so so much of cases depend on evidence, but if you got the evidence, I think we can spank the agent. All right.
Sounds wonderful. I like your style.
All right. Take care. Thanks for listening to Court Radio. And if you really do have that claim and you have that evidence, please give us a call, 215-227-2727.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care. So we got a question from Jerry in West Philly on home damage. Yo, Jerry. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's your question?
I got a question. My sewer line or soil line broke in my basement. And just like you said, I called my agent up. Agent said, "Well, I don't know if it's covered," and my basement was finished. Ooh. So I'm not sure what I should have done and if I still have time for the claim, because it roughly cost me close to $7,000 out of pocket.
Ouch, that hurts. Jerry, how long ago did this event take place?
Approximately maybe 18 months ago or so.
Well, most policies written in the state of Pennsylvania give you a 12-month period to file suit against your insurance company. So that means if they were incorrect in denying your claim, you have no recourse if they don't voluntarily pay the claim after 18 months. But do you know who insured your home there, Jer?
I'm with the Good Hands people.
Oh, sorry to hear that. I don't think there's anything you can do. They sell an array of policies, and some of the ones...
Well, I was smart enough to get a rider for all my toys, computers, and other toys.
Okay.
My other question, well, the problem was, you know, as in Philadelphia, it's kind of hard to find insurance for flat roof houses.
Right.
And they were the only ones I knew at the time that would do it.
Yeah, Jer, I don't know if you qualify for AARP. I think there's a $15 annual membership for that. But the...
No, I'm about a year and a half away from AARP.
Okay.
Good for you, Jerry. But listen, thanks for being a listener to Court Radio, and keep on listening.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, let's hear from our girl, Tiffany Bacon.
Remember, if you've been injured from an automobile accident, slip and fall, work-related mishap, or medical negligence, call the attorneys at Silvers, Langston & Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. Don't you give it a second thought. Call for your free personal consultation. And remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. With over 100 years of combined experience, let them aggressively fight for you. Call them on Monday at 215-227-2727. That's 215-227-2727. Or visit their employment website at MyPhillyLawyer.com.
Okay, 215-263-1079. You've got about 7 minutes to go before we call it a day for us. Next week, we're going to have Mike Barrett, past president of the Philadelphia Trial Lawyers Association, back on to talk about some medical malpractice issues and how to avoid being the subject of a hospital mistake. How can we protect ourselves from the negligence which occurs all too often in our hospitals? We're going to give you some tips on how to protect you and your family next Sunday when we talk to Mike Barrett. But we're back with Kevin Kaufman from
Property Adjustment Corporation, public adjusters representing you, the policyholder, for the past 20 years.
Okay. And we were talking about flood insurance. We're talking about water damage because... God knows we've had a lot of water recently, and the antics of insurance companies on how to reduce claims and protect themselves against us. As we get close to the hour, what's your final comments? What's your wrap-up on this topic? What's the most important thing somebody needs to take away from today's show?
Well, obviously, before you call your insurance company, call an adjuster, you know, somebody who knows how to deal with your insurance company. And know your insurance.
There you go. Know your insurance. I like that. I say that all the time for auto and auto insurance, which is probably the most common insurance anybody has. Do you have the coverage that's going to protect you? If you've been driven off the road by a drunk driver who you never get to identify because he or she sideswipes you, pushes you off the road, and takes off, are you covered? Will you get paid for your pain and suffering, for your medical bills, for your car? And that'll depend on whether you have the right kind of insurance. And you know when the time to ask is? When you buy your policy. Not when you've been knocked off the road and you give me a call and I say, do you have uninsured motorist? And you say, what's that? Because you should know that if you get hit by an uninsured driver or a phantom driver, the only way you're going to get paid is if you have uninsured motorist protection. And if you're not sure what that is, then you need to call somebody and find out, because the last thing I want you to do is to have a need for that coverage and not have it. So, that's the story. Kevin, I really I think that people should understand their policies, and I think that your invitation to have them fax you policies to discuss it is a very generous opportunity for people to make sure that you got the right coverage. One other thing you mentioned about that, the woman who was in the Red Cross shelter, she doesn't own a home. She's an apartment dweller. There's a whole segment of people who don't own their own homes. There is coverage for those people, is there not?
Absolutely. It's a tenant policy. It is so inexpensive. It's ridiculous. This policy that she paid maybe $135 a year for replaced all her possessions. Those that could be salvaged were cleaned and stored, and it kept her in an extended stay America for several months for a few $100 investment. It was a great deal.
Yeah. I mean, folks, you have to be absolutely, positively insane if you don't. I mean, we all have things. We have lots of things. We spend lots of money for our things. And for less than a few $100s, you can be insured for the entire year for any kind of loss that will occur as a tenant. Why wouldn't you want that? And you know, this woman is going to be able to have all of her belongings replaced. She's going to get, you know, her living costs paid for while she's out of the apartment. I guess, you know, people just don't realize. People aren't aware that that type of coverage is available and that it's something that is as inexpensive as it is. So if you're a tenant, if you rent a home or you rent an apartment, call an insurance agent, investigate coverage, you know, protect yourself, protect your family from a loss that you don't need to experience on your own. All right, we have Mamie. Hey, Mamie.
Hi, how are you? I enjoy your show. I try to hear it every Sunday.
Thank you, Mamie.
And
thank
I
you.
Enjoy Miss Bacon.
Thank you, thank you.
And thank
you,
Kevin, for the information he's giving.
Oh,
is
you're
that
very welcome.
1-877-355 fire and the same digits for flood?
Yes.
Yep. You call that, you'll get Kevin, and he'll take care of all of your property and casualty needs at that one number.
What is Kevin's last name?
Kaufman. Kevin Kaufman.
K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N.
Yes.
Okay. Two N's.
Thank you. Mr. Weitzman.
Yes.
I'm interested in an entertainment lawyer,
uh-huh.
And I know one Sunday you spoke about your uncle or your cousin. Do you do that in your office also?
We do not, but I will hook you up with friends of ours who do and who have been on the show. Just give me a call tomorrow at the office, and I'll have a name and a number for you of really the preeminent entertainment lawyers in Philadelphia. Call me tomorrow at 215-227-2727. You got it, Mamie.
Thank you, and I enjoy you. You are fantastic.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Have a great Sunday. I always, you know, I just try to do the right thing for the right reasons on Sunday mornings from 7 to 8. The rest of the time, I don't know. I'm striving. But today, I want to thank everybody for being listeners to Court Radio. My, how 60 Minutes flies by. And I want to tell you, I'll see you next week, same time, same place, 7 a.m., 107.9 WRNB, where we'll try to educate on the current legal topic of that day. Have a great week, folks.
If you're wondering what to do if you or someone close to you are involved in an automobile accident, slip and fall, personal injury, or medical malpractice, contact the law offices of Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, the home of My Philly Lawyer. With over 100 years of combined experience, they will aggressively fight for you. Call on Monday for your free personal consultation. And remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. For answers to your questions and more, call 215-227-2727 or visit them online at MyPhillyLawyer.com.